What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 237 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We're going to be talking about what is probably the biggest TWAB that I think we have ever seen. It was an extremely meaty TWAB. And I actually spent the last 2 hours before this show trying to break it down into more manageable chunks, better organized chunks, so that we could actually talk about it and give you guys the breakdown that you so rightfully deserve. So we're going to be talking about all that tonight. I know that we said 2 weeks ago that we were going to try to do the world weapons breakdown. And man, if it has not just been unfortunate timing for those weapons, it got pushed back last week. And now it's getting pushed back again. And next week is Thanksgiving. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I guess first we should get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am very excited to talk about these sandbox changes. Holy cow, you are not joking. This was a massive, massive post from Bungie. And they left stuff out. There's stuff that they're changing that isn't even in here, that they're saving for the patch notes. So it's just like, man, those patch notes, like, I feel like they need to be printed and bound in a book for easier reading, because the scrolling that is going to be insane.
I went through the entire TWAB and I cut everything out. I reorganized it and I still ended up with 9 pages and 2,700 words total after editing it down to a more manageable reading experience. So I will actually be posting that when the show goes live. We will be posting the notes that I have generated as the show notes for the show, so you guys can read them yourselves. What I tried to do was I tried to pull out a lot of the extraneous stuff, cut it down to just the core things that you need to know, and then organize the changes by subclass and by tree, or by class, subclass, and tree. That way it was easier to see the holistic effect on each of the subclasses and trees themselves, because what they did is they kind of bounced around. They talked about grenades and melees here, and then supers here, and then regen here, and then certain abilities here. And so what they did is they kind of, like, you know, a bunch of changes may have happened to one tree, but those changes were located in 4 different parts of the TWAB. And so it was kind of hard for me, even when I was first reading it, it was like hard for me to understand holistically what had been changed. And the problem is, like you said, there's still a couple really, really big things that could have dramatic effects on the sandbox that we don't exactly know what they are. They haven't given us the times for supers.
Yep.
They haven't given us the times for grenades other than just a couple of them. So we're not entirely sure how dramatic this is going to be. I first read over the TWAB and I was a little wary, a little skittish of it. But I thought, you know, a majority of these changes sound positive in the direction they're going. It depends the extent of that direction.
Yeah.
A couple of the changes I don't like. After rereading it, we're going to make some assumptions, or at least I'm going to make some assumptions. And that bit us in the ass when we talked about the trials matchmaking changes, because it turned out the assumptions were wildly off base. But I think these are probably more accurate. I don't think it's going to be as big of a dramatic shift in the sandbox as people are thinking. I've been seeing some people on Twitter in particular, they're like, oh no, we're going back to year one of Destiny 2, where abilities were weak and we hardly ever had them. And I don't think it's going to be that dramatic of a shift, but we'll see.
I think it is going to be a dramatic shift, but not the way that those people are thinking. And I guess I'm confused by those takes, because Bungie gave us examples of some of the things that they were talking about, and it's dramatic, but it's not year one, not by a long stretch. That's apples and pears right there. Like, I don't even know if they're both fruits, honestly.
I'm pretty sure. Isn't the only thing that a fruit is it has to have internal seeds, like skin?
Oh, and I know apples and pears are both fruits. I'm just saying, like, these two things. The year one sandbox and the sandbox we're going to have are so different. Like, I feel like I should be saying they're apples and carrots. Like,
oh, there you go. I was wondering whether you're actually questioning whether or not a pear was a fruit.
No, I'm firmly in the pear is fruit camp, if anyone is concerned.
What about tomatoes?
Yes, tomatoes are fruit. Absolutely.
What about strawberries, which have the seeds on the outside?
Strawberries, honestly, really confuse me.
Yeah, because it's like, are they berries? They're called berries, but like blueberries have the seeds on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? So who Who knows? Nobody, not us, certainly not us. But anyways, let's go ahead and get the introductions out of the way. This is not a massive breakdown of genuses of fruit.
We're already into the fruit space here.
Yeah. And we've already wasted 5 minutes of the time that we usually reserve for the housekeeping. So yeah, let's go ahead and do the housekeeping. Do we have any new Patreon news for this week?
We do. So if you are in, if you're already a patron, if you're in the club, and you've spent any time in the clubhouse, that's the Patrons Lounge Discord channel, a special location just for our patrons and sponsors. Then you have recently seen a teaser image of part of this year's patron rewards package. We are very excited, working with an extremely talented artist. Going to be dropping some more than just teasers in the very near future. As that, the art is essentially complete at this point, I think. We're just kind of waiting until we're sure everything is ready to go, but very excited about that. Also very excited to say thank you and welcome to three new patrons this week. Thank you so much to Austi for your pledge of support. Thank you, V, This Is Home, for your pledge. We really appreciate it. And thank you, Monte Cristo 345. We deeply appreciate your generosity. Thank you so much to those three guardians for joining us, becoming patrons. We look forward to seeing you in the Patrons Lounge. Even if you just lurk, stop in and say hi. Let us know you're there. It's always great to see new faces. It's a super chill chat room compared to much of the rest of the Discord, which is honestly just running wild, but in a good way, in a Destiny Science way. So also have to say some thank yous, as we do each and every week, each and every time we drop a Massive Breakdowns episode, to our sponsor guardians. These guardians are patrons. They go above and beyond in their generosity. They are just incredibly supportive of the podcast and everything that we're doing here. And so we honor that with our gratitude. Here are their names: Deacon, The Shazzle, Eskian Monk, A Solitary Bird, Zin SoCal, Conquer King 420, Binary Wolf, Starscream S13, Blackhammer Tech. Thank you so much to our sponsors. If you see them in the Discord, if you see any of our patrons in the Discord, please say thank you. Show them some appreciation. They are being incredibly generous to us. You'll recognize them by their special bright yellow flare, or for the sponsors, that kind of fancy burnt orange. So yeah, that's where we're at. That's what we've got. Kind of in a holding pattern there, except for the fact that we are still getting some incredible wave of generosity from the community this year. So, gotta love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the second group of people we like to thank every single time we do an episode are those of you who leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts. Or someone else left me a review somewhere else this week, and I saved it on my phone. And I'm glad that I remembered that just now. So we are going to read both the reviews out. The first one is from Overcooked Grana. 5 stars. He says, "For all things Destiny PvP, this is your podcast. Host Kit Kutcha and Mercules do an amazing job of catching us up on the meta, changes, and weapon recommendations. If you're a casual player like me, it's incredibly handy to have their expertise to draw from. DMB has helped me put down the Fighting Lion, RIP Manual Reload, try all the new weapons, Heart La Monarch, and to thrive in IB. I've never joined a Patreon before, but I will be for these guys. Keep it coming. Let me know if there's a D2 clan." Well, lucky for you, Overcooked, there is a D2 clan, creatively called Massive Breakdowns. You're welcome to join it. All you gotta do is hit me up with a message in the Discord, and we can facilitate that. Thank you very much for that review.
Yeah, and thank you for all those kind words. Talking about becoming a patron, I don't know. Impossible to match up usernames most of the time, but if you're already in there, give us a shout out in the Discord, say hi, and we'll thank you personally for this review.
And then we have a second review, this one from Apple Podcast. It is short, sweet, and to the point. Great podcast, 5 stars, keep it up. From Rex Vizsla. Part of me thinks, based on that name, Rex Vizsla, those are two Clone Wars characters. Part of me thinks he was shooting for the Beneath Twin Suns, the new feed that we've got set up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Fortunately for you guys who only listen to the Destiny podcast, we listen to your complaints. We are spinning Beneath Twin Suns off into its own separate feed. After the most recent episode of Beneath Twin Suns, you will never again see another Beneath Twin Suns episode on the Destiny Massive Breakdowns feed. But if you guys do like Beneath Twin Suns, please, please, please go subscribe to that new feed. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much anywhere you can find Destiny Massive Breakdowns, you can find Beneath Twin Suns. Leave us a review on that. It helps immensely with discovery. We are going from a feed that is very, very popular and very active to a brand new one, and that has like kicked us all the way down to the bottom of those charts and made it very, very hard for people to discover. So if you can follow that and leave us a review over there, that would be supremely helpful, and we'd be very grateful for that too.
Yep, absolutely. We've also spun off a Beneath Twin Suns Twitter account so that we can share Star Wars related posts of all kinds. We'll be sharing all of our episodes there on Twitter as well. So if you happen to be a Twitter follower and you like Star Wars as much as we do, please search for Beneath Twin Suns. It's the podcast. So that should differentiate it from any other Beneath Twin Suns out there, any fraudulent Beneath Twin Suns who existed before us.
Any copycats who stole our name before we had it for ourselves.
Indeed. Yes.
Oh, all right. Except well, you no know, substitutes. That only took us 11 minutes, so that's pretty close to how long we try to keep it. We are going to be going over, again, we're going to be going over the TWAB, but we have like our own custom version of the patch notes. So if you are following along with the actual TWAB, it's probably going to read as pretty confusing. It's going to seem like we're going way out of order. I'm going to post these patch notes on our website, in our Discord, on our Twitter. I'll probably put them on Reddit if I don't get, you know, kicked off for posting useless rehashes of a TWAB on Reddit. I will be posting these everywhere I can. So if you happen to want to find those and read along with us, please do that. It will make things a lot more clear for you. However, we're going to do the best that we can to explain everything. So this TWAB, all about abilities. A little bit about mods, but a lot about abilities. This is probably the largest rework of abilities that I think they've ever done at one time, if I'm not mistaken. Does that sound right to you?
I would agree with that statement. I think this might be the largest rework of abilities that they've ever done, full stop. Unless you want to count the rework jumping from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, which was also a pretty significant rework, but not technically a rework, since it was a separate game.
Right. So basically, they touched pretty substantially about five or six different things, and we're going to kind of list these off for you, and then we're going to go more in depth on all of them. They touched perks within subclasses, either in super perks or neutral game perks. They touched cooldowns of melees and grenades and supers, and then they also touched armor mods, although armor mods was really just like a one fell swoop type thing. Like, there's not really a ton to talk about there. But they touched pretty much all of those things in some way or another.
They also touched class abilities. Don't want to leave those out. Class ability cooldowns are being, at least for Titans and Hunters, are being changed. I guess I don't recall if I saw it for Warlocks, but we'll get there.
I would assume that they are as well, seeing as everything else. It seems like they touched literally every timer to do with subclasses got touched. To do with subclass abilities got touched.
Yeah.
So if we want to go back to the beginning, which for them was like halfway down the thing, because they had three different people write this, and then they had some other people edit it, and so everything was kind of all thrown around. So what we're going to start, if you're following along the patch notes, is the section right at the top called Foundational Pillars. Basically, Kevin Yanez shared the Foundational Pillars, the role that they want abilities to play in the sandbox. There's four bullet points for it. Here's what they want. They want weapons to be the primary way that players engage with combat. They want non-super abilities to accentuate or augment combat, but rarely solve an encounter by itself. They want abilities to have clear strengths, weaknesses, and counterplay, and they want build crafting to be rewarding within the moment-to-moment combat loop of Destiny. So those are the four pillars, right? That's what they talked about. And they basically said, immediately after listening to those four pillars, we are not there yet. Ability uptime in the Crucible is too high, considering their current potency, and sometimes it's difficult to understand when an opponent has an ability or will regain it after using it. Some of that uptime comes from passive cooldowns, but a lot of it has come from elements of build crafting that they have added in. and now have basically like spun off into their own, you know, their own various beasts that allow you to get uptime basically continuously or instantly or things like that. So they want build crafting to be rewarding, but in its current state, it's pretty much unsustainable in terms of the ability economy, and it greatly diminishes weapon play in PvP. So this tuning pass, this is again where they mention subclass and super perks. Here's a definition for you. These perks scale down energy returns as you get kills, aka the first kill while in super returns more energy than the third kill will. The problem is that currently these perks will mean that supers can basically roam the map, not quite indefinitely, but for extended periods of time. We're all looking at you, Dawnblade. We're all looking at you, Bottom Tree Striker, where these perks, these supers seemingly last forever, right? So they're going to rescale that energy refund decay more aggressively so that you're going to reach the minimum, meaning it's going to scale down much more quickly, in fact, twice as quickly. This is only in PvP. This is going to be a recurring theme in everything that we talk about tonight. For this is probably the best example that I've seen of them splitting between PvP and PvE. In a lot of cases, they made a change that only affects PvP.
Yep. Yep, and I think that's something that a lot of people are going to be very happy about. Some of these things are going to be net buffs to PvE. And in some cases, they are explicit net buffs to PvE on abilities that are being nerfed in PvP. So this, I think, is for me, very exciting to read so far, right? Aspirational stuff, always exciting, right? I think they have a great vision for the game. And it's nice to hear that it is a, you know, I think a very clear and well-outlined vision. And it's good to hear that they have finally taken steps to rein in the endless supers. So they're also looking at subclass neutral game perks. These perks have had their ability energy regeneration reduced by roughly 50% in PvP. They targeted perks that can either activate out of combat with a single button press, or those that were returning amounts of ability energy that were significantly out of band. So basically, any perk that's giving you back grenade, class ability, or melee energy, specifically those that are you know, not directly giving you energy from kills, or that were returning massive amounts of ability energy, were getting touched. And so we saw the beginning of this with the exotic pass that they talked about last week. And so that's continuing to be a theme here as we look at the subclasses and abilities.
And don't worry if you guys don't know an example of that off the top of your head. As soon as we get to the subclasses themselves, we're going to tell you every one of the perks that they told us that they were going to touch.
Yep.
Okay. So we will talk about that in the subclasses. Now, we get to the biggest foundational change that they've made that's not just like a nerf or a buff directly. They're calling it variable ability cooldowns, and it's an entirely new system that previously, with the exception of stasis, all grenades in the game had the same base cooldown. All supers in the game had the same base cooldown. All melees in the game had the same base cooldown. And then you could manipulate those with your stats and with your perks and things like that. But now what they're doing is they're going a step further. They're actually changing the base cooldowns of every single, I assume, class ability, but melee and grenade ability in the game. And they are individually tuning them based on their potency. So Kevin Yanez has said that this is another knob for them to turn in terms of balance, where maybe something is pretty hot, and instead of nerfing it, they just increase the time or the recharge time for it. So it effectively has less uptime, but it maintains the potency that it already has. So they pretty much, they said that this is like the beginning of a huge change for the Destiny 2 sandbox. They said it's the beginning of the process of moving all of the light subclasses over to the subclass 3.0 system, which Stasis currently uses, and come Witch Queen, Void will also be using. They think that it makes the game feel more dynamic. It gives more depth to build crafting. And to make it easier, you'll also be able to see the base cooldown of your abilities when selecting them on the subclass screen. They wanted to clarify that the base cooldown is actually the tier 3 cooldown time. Because if you actually go to tier 1, 2, or 0, I don't know why I organized them that way, 2, 1, or 0, it actually penalizes you from the base cooldown But the base cooldown itself is at tier 3, which was interesting because I didn't actually know that that was the way it worked.
I had a feeling that was the way it worked, but it was never super important to, I guess, to bring up. But the reason I thought that is because if you remember when we switched to armor 2.0, our 1.0 armor essentially set all of your tiers to 3. Like that was tier 3 was the default for everything. And so that was just sort of like what they were considering to be the base. I think that's why it sort of has remained that way. Although they did talk about trying to sort of make that into a more clear, at least in terms of presentation, even if not how it works behind the scenes, but a more clear experience for us down the road. Because it is not intuitive if you weren't there for the armor 1 to armor 2.0 switch.
Yeah. I actually did not catch that at all. I didn't realize that was the way that it worked. That's interesting that you caught that. But in addition to that, and here's one of the parts where I'm not necessarily concerned because I don't think there's reason to be concerned, but they said one of the design goals was to reduce the amount of ability spam. To that end, we've made ability cooldowns, and they just say ability cooldowns, which I took to be all-encompassing, longer on average than they were before. They don't want the PvE experience to suffer for the sake of PvP balance, so they've tried to compensate where possible. For example, all grenades now have a longer cooldown. Well, I shouldn't say all. On average, grenades have a longer cooldown, but they all now do 15% more damage in PvE to combatants, right? So here's the first big question that we have is how much longer do you think that cooldown is going to be on average for grenades? Are we talking 5 seconds here? Are we talking 10 seconds? The flux grenade that they showed us was double, but it's also doing almost double damage. Whereas, you know, the firebolt grenade is a little bit faster. It's doing less damage. So do you think it's kind of proportional? It kind of seemed that way to me.
I think what they're going to do here is take each grenade, lean it fully into the power fantasy that it was originally intended to fulfill, and then set the times on that basis. And so I think what we're going to end up with here is that we're going to have 3 or 4 one-hit kill grenades, but they're all going to take like 3 minutes to recharge.
But that's long-term. That's not this exact...
No, I think that's going to be this rollout. Because they talked about, you know, the flux grenade, like you said, right? It's a one-hit kill grenade now.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're doing that to all sticky grenades. I thought that the way they phrased it, I thought they were just doing that to a flux grenade to kind of like trial it to see if a one-hit kill sticky was okay.
Well, I think they have to give it to every class, though. I think Warlocks, Hunters, and Titans are all going to get... So we don't all have flux grenades, right? Did I forget that we do?
No, only the Arc Striders have
flux. Yeah, I was going to say, okay, like I'm not forgetting something. Yeah, so I think there's going to be at least one for every class. But I think this is certainly going to make things interesting because we'll talk about the flux grenade changes when we get to it, but I like the direction that they're going with it. But that's my impression is that was an example of what they're doing. And that because they now have this system, they can make a change like that. And if it's bad, then, you know, they'll let it run for a couple of months and then they can make another change. They can roll it back. They can increase the cooldown even further, make it a 4-minute cooldown. So you're throwing 2 flux grenades a game. I don't know. That's my impression, is that they're going to lean each of these grenades into a specific sort of fantasy, because that's their kind of terminology, right? Is they're like, okay, what is the archetype that this grenade is trying to fulfill? Let's make it do that, and let's make a cooldown that fits. And we'll see where we're at when we get there. And then they probably do some balancing after that and say, okay, well, this fantasy is too powerful, so we need to mitigate it in some way. And that's they some of the changes they talked about with the flux grenade really spoke to me about, like, okay, they're like, okay, what if it one hit kills again? Well, if it does that, then we probably need to, you know, take away the tracking, because that's no fun.
That has me a little bit on edge, because the one of the changes that I did not like from this is that they removed the one hit kill abilities from Titans and from Warlocks with Shoulder Charge and Handheld Supernova.
That threw me for a loop, I won't lie, and it is an argument against my thesis.
But they kept the one-hit kill melee with Waiting Throwing Knife on Hunter.
Yep.
And they gave Hunters another one-hit kill with a grenade. So that was one of the things that I didn't... Because to me, the whole variable ability cooldown thing made me think, oh, well, now Shoulder Charge is just like going to have a longer cooldown because it's more lethal.
That's what
and
I
same with
expected.
Handheld Supernova.
Yeah.
It honestly... we'll look at these later, but I really feel like Titans kind of got a little bit shafted on some of these changes. But I don't really say I'm not normally like a staunch Titan supporter. I actually think Titans have some of the cheesiest, most annoying builds out there, which is hilarious coming from a Shadow Dive main. Although not anymore, definitely not a Shadow Dive main anymore. But you know, that's the whole thing. So that's one of the questions that we have right here that really needs to be answered, because that's going to be pretty big on it. I have a feeling, and this is my assumption, I could be wrong, I have a feeling that unless they dramatically change the functionality of a grenade like they did with flux grenades, that the cooldowns are going to be on the order of like maybe 10 or 15 seconds more. I don't necessarily think they're going to be like double in time, right? Because they gave us the example of the flux grenade, which was, you know, more than double in time, but it's also got 100 more damage than it was doing before. So if that's one end of the spectrum and the firebolt grenade is the other end of the spectrum, everything else kind of falls in between. And the only thing they're doing is just buffing the damage by 15%. And they specifically said, we don't want the PvE experience to suffer. To me, what that says to me is that the 15% damage buff has to be relatively equivalent to whatever the uptime or whatever the recharge rate nerf is. So if, you know, a recharge rate right now is 100 seconds and it adds another 15 seconds on it, that's kind of where I'm thinking it's going to be. And if that's the case, I don't really think that that's that bad. I think that a reduction in grenade abilities by 15 seconds per ability or 10 to 15 seconds per ability, I think that's probably pretty good for the PvP sandbox.
I would agree with that. And then, you know, they're talking about an average. So I guess my feeling is that it's going to vary pretty widely, and we're going to have some outliers in both directions, and we're going to have a cluster, right? It's probably going to end up being a little bit of a bell curve. We're going to have kind of a cluster, you know, in between, like, you know, just that, for example, like that 100 to 130 second range. And then we'll have some below that and some above that. Yeah, I think by and large, having less grenades be thrown in the Crucible, whatever Shaxx says, is probably healthy for the game.
Which, if you want to see the other end of that spectrum, go play Quick Play and Halo Infinite and learn what real grenade spam actually is. Because there's about 1,000 grenades being thrown every minute in Halo Infinite, which is just, that's just the way Halo's played. There's a lot of grenades. And they're not super, super lethal, so it's okay. But there's a lot of grenades. That's grenade spam. Anyways, they also talked about melees. They said that melee cooldowns haven't been increased quite as much as grenade cooldowns. And some of the less aggressive melee attacks actually have lower cooldowns than before. Class ability cooldowns have also generally been increased, but the changes vary depending on what ability is equipped. So they actually talk about, specifically, they give us the numbers for dodge cooldowns and rift cooldowns, or not rift cooldowns, barricade cooldowns. They did not give us the numbers for rift cooldowns, so I'm curious to see what those are. But if they're on the same line as dodge and barricade, they're not going to be tremendous, right? They'll be, I mean, maybe 25% or whatever the cooldown was, or less, I would imagine. So I don't think it's going to be really, really awful. Melee cooldowns, again, if they're not as big as grenades, you know, I'm working under the assumption the average grenade cooldown increase is going to be about 15 seconds or so, 10 to 15 seconds. That makes me think melees are going to be like 5 to 10, somewhere around there. That's kind of what I'm working off of in my head.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right to me. I think we'll see comparably much smaller changes to the melee cooldowns. And generally, they are less impactful in PvP. And PvE as well, for that matter. So.
Mm-hmm. And then huge, huge change, supers. They had a couple of bullet points they want to talk about in supers. They said in PvE, super uptime, they believe should be relatively unchanged from the live game, if not even slightly higher. They're pretty happy with the frequency of supers and PvE content. They don't want big changes on that front. And even in 6v6, they said they're pretty happy with it. So they said everyone, even the worst player, should get at least one super in a 6v6 match that goes to the score time limit, as long as they engage in regular combat. They're not just sitting AFK. They think that using those supers as part of that awesome space magic is core of what makes Destiny special. And so they don't think the cadence of supers in Iron Banner or Control is going to change much. I would expect it's still going to go down a little bit, because they do say they think it's slightly too high, but this isn't really where the focus is on. The focus is really on the 3v3 playlist. They said two supers per match is a pretty regular occurrence. They don't want that. It seems like they really want it to come down to one super per match. And then a little additional bullet point down here, primary weapon play, they want it to have a noticeable benefit on super energy regeneration. So with the new system, they are basically going to be scaling gains up and down based on the source of the damage, both outgoing and incoming. So taking damage will help you to recharge your super, as will dealing damage. But outgoing primary weapon damage has a significantly higher return of super energy per damage point than any other type of damage. So using a primary and dealing damage is the most efficient way to now charge your super. I kind of really like this system.
I do too. What I am wondering, and this will be exciting to do some testing on, is if they are scaling it in such a way that using special and power weapons is almost slightly punishing, and that it could perhaps give your opponent more super energy than if you kill them with your primary. Since they want to favor primary weapons, it would make sense to me that primary weapons, if you're the one doing the shooting, that you get more super energy from using your primary and you give away less. So there's, let's say there's a finite amount of super energy that can be gained from any given weapon usage scenario, say 5 points of super energy, whatever. Using your primary, you get, say, 4 of those points and you give the other person 1. Using your special, you get 2 of those points and give the other person 3. Using your power, you get 1 and give the other person 4. But the more powerful the weapon, the more guaranteed the kill, so at least you get the kill. I think that is an interesting trade-off. And obviously, we don't know how it's going to play out.
Don't you have the strong suspicion that Telesto is going to break this somehow? I was legitimately thinking about that. I was like, I wonder, they had to have tested Telesto and its ability to deal weird damage with this. But I was legitimately thinking about that when I was reading. I was like, I feel like Telesto is going to break this somehow.
I think they test Telesto every time they change anything, like even just unrelated things, and it still breaks the game.
I'd be surprised, going back to what you were saying, I'd be surprised if dealing damage with a sniper or shotgun would give the enemy more super than it gives to you. I have a feeling that, kind of like wins and losses in a ranked playlist, like dealing damage is always going to give you more super energy than taking damage. But taking damage will also give you some, because, you know, some people don't get a ton of kills and otherwise they would never get a super, and that's definitely not something that they want.
Yeah, I don't want to say that's probably how it works, because I really want it to be a more potent trade-off. But probably how it works.
So they also talked about, they basically split the supers. Now that they've got this variable ability cooldown, they split the supers into 5 tiers. Tier 5 is the fastest regenerating passively. And I assume... they say this flat out, it affects the damage-based regeneration rate and the passive regeneration rate, right? They basically influence this based off the kill potential, and a lot of one-off supers are incapable of getting more than 1, 2, maybe if you're lucky, 3 kills at a time. But some of the roaming supers are capable of getting 5, 6, 7 kills whenever you pop them. So that's kind of the way they split it up. So tier 5 is the fastest regeneration. Right now, all alone is Well of Radiance. They did say that Ward of Dawn is going to be there when one ward. When Void 3.0 comes out, they're splitting Ward of Dawn off into its own super. It's going to be up there in tier 5 as well. So fastest regenerating. Then we go to tier 4. We got a pair of Hunter supers. We got Blade Barrage, which is absolute hot garbage. And then we've got Silence and Squall, which despite people hating Revenants, Silence and Squall is actually, having used it a lot, it's not a super good super. And they also just nerf Shatter Dive really, really hard.
Yeah.
So give this one to the Revenants, guys. They kind of need it. There's not going to be a ton of them with Shatter Dive going away.
Silence and Squall is, especially post the various changes they have made, incredibly easy to avoid. Unless they actually hit you directly. And if you get hit directly with a one-shot super, like, you can't really fairly be upset about dying to it. Like, I mean, that's what happens, right? It's like if you get hit by a Nova Bomb or a Blade Barrage, you go poof. If you get hit by Silence and Squall, you should die. With Silence and Squall, you actually have a chance if they get killed out of midair that maybe you just get frozen and you don't die. It's happened more than once, both to me and to people that I have seen on screen. So it's a great area control super. It's not broken.
No, not even close. And tier 3, Shadow Shot, Burning Maul, Arc Staff. Kind of surprised to see Arc Staff here, honestly.
Me too.
I feel like Arc Staff is a pretty darn good super, and I'm kind of surprised to see it up with the likes of Shadow Shot, Burning Maul, Nova Bomb, and Thundercrash too. It's the fastest recharging. I shouldn't say that. Burning Maul is also up there, but it's the fastest recharging roaming super. And no offense to Burning Maul, but some offense to Burning Maul. I do not feel like Burning Maul and Arc Staff are on the same plane in terms of how effective their supers are.
Well, also consider a neutral game, I guess. I feel like Arc Staff is pretty solid all around.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like someone really wants to make Arc Strider happen in the meta.
It's going
because
to.
We talked about this last subclass tuning, but we were like, why do they keep buffing Arc Staff? Like, Arc Staff is pretty good in the right hands, and I feel like it just keeps getting buffs.
I think I'm leaning pretty hard toward Arc Staff as a primary PvP option going forward after these changes come into effect. So,
and then we move down to tier 2, where you've got Golden Gun, Chaos Reach. Chaos Reach, I think, is put there because it caused so many problems for so long with being fast recharging that even though it doesn't have tremendous kill potential, they're like, no, you get slow recharge. So Chaos Reach, Nova Warp, Storm Trance, Daybreak, Sentinel Shield, all those kind of make sense to me. Sentinel Shield, I maybe would have argued tier 3 because it's not a highly effective super. Golden Gun kind of feels a little unfair because, like, you've got Six Shooter, which is capable of a shit ton of kills and really should be in tier 1. And then you've got the normal 3-shot Golden Gun, which kind of sucks and I really feel like should be like in tier 3. So, or like maybe even tier 2.
There's hope.
Or sorry, tier 4.
There's hope when Solar 3.0 comes out someday.
And they split these off into two.
That'll be their own thing, yeah.
It's kind of unfortunate because even though they were able to split between supers, they weren't able to split between the same super with different effects on it.
Yeah.
And Golden Gun kind of gets a little bit of a shaft. Like 3-shooter Golden Gun gets a little bit of a shaft as a 6-shooter.
Now, I think Sentinel Shield is in tier 2 because it has a ranged ability. And it's roaming. So I think that combination probably deserves to be in tier 2. Even though it's had various hit registration issues over the years, it still is effective when it works as intended. And it has the potential to be very effective.
And then Daybreak, I think, makes sense there. Storm Trance, Nova Warp, I think those all make sense there. Tier 1 is the slowest regenerating. Spectral Blades, Fist of Havoc, Hammer of Soul, Winter's Wrath. I think all of those make sense there. I maybe would have argued to put Daybreak in there too. I think without a question, those are the most effective roaming supers. Hammer of Soul, I actually think, is an underrated roaming super. It is way better than a lot of people thought it was. And it seems that Bungie also realized that, hey, it's pretty darn good. And if we nerf these other ones, like, it's going to skyrocket in usage. Then Glacial Quake.
Yeah.
Man, Behemoth Titans, like they are pushing hard for Glacial Quake to be like the PvE Titan super. And maybe it'll happen, but man, for PvP, I don't know if I can imagine a worse class for you to pick if you're a Titan than Behemoth right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I firmly agree at this point. So this is something that we sort of, you posed this question before we started recording, and I did not have a good answer, and I've been thinking about it in the back of my mind this whole time. But you asked, what do you think the super tiers are going to mean? Like, where are they going to be at in terms of regeneration time, just base compared to today? And that's a super hard question to ask because we've seen some potentially conflicting examples in some of their other changes that could, you know, could really throw you for a loop. But here's what I'm going to say, I think. So I think that Tier 5, Fastest Regen, Will of Radiance, and in the future, Bubble. I think it's going to be faster than today's base recharge. I think it's going to come back quite quickly. And with kills, certainly with kills, I think it'll be much faster than today's, even if the base time is slightly slower. Tier 4, I think, is probably going to be pretty close. Like, I think they're going to have targeted so that the average player in PvP will be close to on par with today's supers. Maybe slightly ahead, but probably not enough to get an extra full super out of it. The best players, I think, are going to be pretty much where they are right now, dropping 2 to 3 supers a match consistently. Tier 3, I think, is definitely going to be slower, even for good players. And Tiers 2 and 1, I think, are going to be very noticeably slower. Like, you're not going to be... I think it's going to take a very good player to get one of those supers to go off twice in sixes. I think it'll happen, but I think it's going to be very hard to do. Someone's going to have to slay out.
I don't know that it's going to be that dramatic. I think that the tier ones you will probably get, a good player will probably get two. Because right now, as a good player, depending on how really, really well I'm doing, like, I can count on three. And if I'm like absolutely freaking wrecking, maybe four. So I would imagine that in sixes, if they don't want the uptime of supers to decrease that much, but they do want them to decrease in threes, I think that tier three is going to be close to baseline right now with, because I look at it like this, right? Like, I would imagine that they would want Blade Barrage and Silence and Squall and Well of Radiance to get buffs, not like slightly less nerfs. Well, Well of Radiance would get a buff no matter what. But like Blade Barrage and Silence and Squall, they both kind of suck. So I'm imagining a little bit that they want to buff them even if it's not a ton. So I'm kind of thinking that three is going to be like our baseline right now. Four and five are going to be faster and two and one are going to be slower.
Well, so that's a fair argument. They do point out, obviously, tier three is the baseline tier for abilities. That said, I still think, I guess I disagree with you because I think Blade Barrage and Silence and Squall are getting a buff regardless of where the line is drawn, because the vast, like, literally every other super except Well of Radiance is getting a comparative nerf.
Mm-hmm.
And one that I think will be noticeable.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't make these tiers if they were going to be 10 seconds apart. I think we can expect, you know, 30 seconds to a minute between tiers in terms of the base cooldown time. Because remember, they want active engagement in combat to be your primary source of energy. So I think the differences between tiers, if you look at the cooldown times, are going to feel massive. But in practice, they're not going to be that massive because you're going to be engaging in combat. You're not going to be AFK, right?
Well, we might also legitimately both be correct, right? Like in sixes, it may be that tier 3, 4, and 5 are all functionally the same or better in sixes.
Yeah.
But it might be that in trials or survival, only tier 1 is better. Tier 2 is the same. Or sorry, only tier 5 is better. Tier 4 is the same. I wish they'd gone the other way with the numbers.
Yeah.
Like going highest to lowest is like throwing me. But it might be that tier 5 is the same, or tier 5 is better, tier 4 is the same. 3, 2, and 1 are all penalized, which would decrease the amount of supers seen in trials and survival. So it might be that because of the way the stacking buff from kills works or from dealing damage works, it might be that we both end up being correct, just in different parts of the sandbox.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? There's a lot of variety in the sandbox. And so it certainly is going to vary based on what game mode you're in. I think we can expect to see PvE benefit from this pretty significantly. In comparison,
it's so easy to deal damage and take damage in PvE.
It's very hard not to. Yeah, I think there are going to be people looking at building like tank build outs so that you can go in and take more damage and figuring out, you know, which primaries get the best regen. And I think we're going to see some PvE meta shifts around that style of play where you're trying to take as much damage as you can to get your super up. I'm excited. I think this is good for the game long term. I think it's going to be the Wild West when it rolls out, and some stuff is going to be way off from where it should be. I'm going to try to go in with a super open mind and be like, okay, this isn't how it is forever. It's just how it is for the next month or two. And then they'll look at it.
Yeah. And they did mention, they did mention that things like Deadfall, Mobius Quiver, right now they share the same tier. But when Void 3.0 launches in February, along with Ward of Dawn, they're going to split those off into their own tiers. They tell us Ward of Dawn is going to be tier 5. They don't say what Deadfall and Mobius Quiver are going to be, but that is nice. And then Kevin Yanez actually has a future look, kind of. And he's like, this is a huge change. You guys need to be aware that post this change, probably between December and February, like they're going to be heads down. They're like, we are preparing for big things. We have to 3.0 Solar and Arc as well. So they're going to be working on that. So they take all the feedback seriously. They want to keep improving things, but understand like this is a huge, huge change and probably don't expect another big change like this, just like right around the corner. It's going to be this and then Void 3.0. We're going to be playing with this for a little bit. They'll be listening to the feedback. They might make minor tweaks, but they're not going to, you know, even if you don't like it, they're not going to redo the whole system in the next couple months.
Right.
So this is how we're going to be playing, at least until Witch Queen comes out, and probably for a bit after Witch Queen comes out.
Yeah, that's a good point. They've got a lot on their plates.
Now we can finally move into the more specific changes that were made, changes with numbers. Everything we've kind of talked about up to this point has been like, we're making changes. Guess how fast stuff is going to cool down. But for the rest of the podcast, we're actually going to be talking about kind of specific numbers. So armor mods, these things include kickstarts, bomber, outreach, dynamo distribution, momentum transfer, impact induction, bolstering detonation, perpetuation, focusing strike. They nerfed the returns, the energy returns from these mods by all roughly 50% in PvP. Depends a little bit on the number of copies you have slotted, but they're all pretty much getting a nerf. I actually think that is a good change. I personally crutch on a couple of perpetuation mods. I know a ton of people...
Yeah.
Who really, really lean into the kickstart mods. And I think it was allowing for some super ridiculous cooldown times and stuff. I think it's a really good idea to take these down a healthy notch.
Yeah, it is definitely going to change up my armor loadout, I think, in a big way. I will be considering a lot of other options going forward.
And then stasis. They're doing what they probably really should have done with stasis right when it came out. But stasis crystals will now slow players instead of freezing them. And they'll do much less damage to players when they do detonate. So they will still freeze PvE combatants while forming, right? The slow freeze radius, since they now no longer freeze in PvP, they are expanding it from 1.75 meters to 2.6 meters. So if I throw a glacier grenade at you, you will be slowed from further away than you were before, but you will not be frozen unless you're a PvE combatant. This is just a straight up buff for them in PvE, by the way. They've reduced crystal detonation damage versus players by 55%. That is a huge nerf. They have increased crystal detonation damage versus PvE combatants by 60%, which is a huge buff. And they have increased the crystal detonation radius from 6 meters to 8 meters. Again, a huge buff. So glacier grenades in PvE just became insanely good, number one. Like, top-tier grenade in PvE. In PvP, they now will slow in a wider radius. They will now damage in a wider radius. But as they say later on, the chances of you killing someone with a shatter in PvP is now almost zero. Which, as a hunter, professional shatter diver, I knew it was coming, but it still breaks my heart to read it.
Yes, this is a sad Elmo moment for certain. But I think it was necessary. Shatter Dive has, if nothing else, done whatever the opposite of endear itself to the community is. It's become perhaps the most hated ability in Destiny 2. And
yeah, I loved it though.
And for that reason, it's out. So, you know, we may see future changes that ease off it a little bit, but I would not hold my breath for a return of any kind to anything remotely approaching its current form. They have made it pretty clear, as with some other stasis abilities, that it's going to be great in PvE and perhaps does not belong in the Crucible anymore. And that's fine. I'm all right with that. I'm looking forward to having some more light subclasses back in PvP.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive, though. I mean, Shatter Dive is going to be freaking dominant in PvE now. It's going to do so much damage.
Oh, it's going to be a monster.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. They basically are like, you know what? I think we've had our time with Behemoth and Revenant in PvP. Let's make them good in PvE for a bit. Let's have people swap over to them. But they also touched a couple of Whispers. Whisper of Shards, which is the one that when you shatter crystals, you get increased ability regen. They've decreased that by 50%. And then Whisper of Chains, they have actually buffed that. So you get increased damage resistance only versus PvE combatants. They've taken it from 25% to 40%. It's a good little buff there. They didn't really do a ton to stasis, but what they did is definitely super effective in what they were trying to do, which is nerfing Shatter Dive. And then one-shot abilities, this is just a note. They wanted to pull back the number of one-shot abilities that could kill a full health guardian. So shoulder charges and handheld supernova can no longer one-shot, which again comes back to what we said earlier. That's very weird to me because they just gave hunters, which have the only remaining one-shot ability and the weighted throwing knife, another one-shot ability in the flux grenade. So that's very strange to me. I think we'll talk more about that when we get down to the Titan and Warlock subclasses. So anything else on the intro? I think we are now done. What are we done with? We're done with the first 4 pages of 9 pages. So we are about halfway through with this episode.
Yeah, there is a lot left to talk about. And I don't know, this might be about the end of part one and the beginning of, of part two.
Yeah. Because we're at what, 55 minutes right now? Yeah, we're at 55 minutes right now. I'm definitely gonna have to split this in two, because if we're gonna go for another 55 minutes, there's no way I can edit almost a 2-hour podcast all one time. So yeah. Well, that'll be it for part one, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm not going to make you wait over the weekend. I will edit the rest of the episode and get part two up later on today. So if you're listening to it and it hasn't come out yet, it should be coming out soon. And if both parts are out, well then good for you. Just go straight to part two and take a listen.
Awesome.